Hello, and welcome to today's edition of Tabernacle Today, a podcast maintained by the Tabernacle located in Danville, Virginia. The following sermon is by Dr. Danny Campbell, senior pastor at the Tabernacle, and was recorded during our Sunday morning service. To view the entirety of our service, please visit our Facebook page at The Tabernacle Family or our YouTube channel at The Tabernacle Today. Additional information about the Tabernacle can be found at our website at www.thetabernaclefamily.org. Our prayer is that you will be blessed by the Word of God today. Turn in your Bibles as we join Dr. Danny for another edition of Tabernacle Today.
Amen. Wow. Saxophone solo, flute solo. Good singing all around. Great stuff. Thank you, Music Ministry. Thank you, John. Hetty and Rachel are celebrating 25 years of marriage down in Florida. Aren't you jealous? As we look at this cold snap, I think a little bit's going to affect down there too, but not as much as the rest of the country. Hey, let's take a moment and see who's here this morning. If you are 25 or younger, will you please stand? Let's see who's 25 and younger. Say, don't do this? Okay. It's good to see all those around the room and upstairs. That's great. How about if you are 26 to 50? Let's have you stand now. There you go. Look, all right. A good-looking group all around the room. Excellent, excellent. I hope you're standing at home, too, even though we can't see you there. 51 to 75. All right. Look at that good group of folks. Excellent, excellent. All right, and now if you are 76 or older and willing to admit it, look at that wonderful group there. Excellent, excellent, excellent. All right. Turn in your Bibles to the book of Proverbs, and I am going to continue on with some series in Matthew, with my series in Matthew. But every once in a while, we're going to stop, like we are this week, to do a profile of one of the kinds of people profiled in the Proverbs. There are at least a dozen portraits of individuals in the prophets, in the Proverbs, and we're going to talk about the simple man today. But let me tell you a little story. When author Paulo Coelho meets people, he's known to give them a laminated card that's entitled Life Explained. And here's what the card says. The card says, first, God created the dog. God said, dog, you're going to sit all day by the door of your house and bark at anyone who comes in or walks past, and I'm going to give you a lifespan of 20 years. The dog said, that's too long to be barking. Give me 10 years and I'll give you back the other 10. So God agreed. Second, God created the monkey. God said, entertain people, do monkey tricks, and make them laugh. I'll give you a 20-year lifespan. And the monkey said, well, monkey tricks for 20 years? I don't think so. The dog gave you back 10 years, so that's what I'll do as well, okay? And God agreed. Next, God created the cow. You must go to the field with the farmer all day and suffer under the sun, have calves, and give milk to support the farmer, and I'll give you a lifespan of 60 years. The cow said, that's kind of a tough life you want me to live for 60 years. Let me have 20, and I'll give you back the other 40. And God agreed again. Finally, God created man. God said, eat, sleep, play, marry, and enjoy your life. I'll give you 20 years. Man said, what? Only 20 years? Tell you what, I'll take my 20. And the 40 the cow gave back, and the 10 the monkey gave back, and the 10 the dog gave back, and that will give me 80 years, okay? Okay, said God, you've got a deal. So that's why, life explained, that's why the first 20 years we eat, sleep, play, and enjoy ourselves. Then for the next 40 we toil in the sun to support our family. The next 10 we do monkey tricks to entertain the grandchildren. And the last 10 years we sit on the porch and bark at everyone that goes by. That is not a true story. But it does lead me into talking today about the simple man as described in the book of Proverbs. So Proverbs 1, we're going to read the first 7 verses and other Proverbs as we go along today, and a Psalm verse or two because of this wonderful thought of the simple man. Proverbs 1, verse 1 says, the Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel. to know wisdom and instruction, to understand words of insight, to receive instruction in wise dealing, in righteousness, justice, and equity, to give prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the youth. Did you get that, verse 4? To give prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the youth. Let the wise hear and increase in learning, and the one who understands obtain guidance, to understand a proverb and a saying, the words of the wise and their riddles. The fear of the Lord, reverencing the Lord, is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. The simple man, let's pray. Father, I thank you so much for the time of praise that we've already had today. And on a cold day outside, and all the wind we think of yesterday in the cold, I just thank you that you brought us into this room that is taken care of with heat and other things, Lord. And I just thank you for how it just opens up our hearts when we sing praises to you, Lord God. I thank you that you are worthy of our praise and worship. And Lord, I thank you that you have a purpose and plan for everyone. We all start simple, but you want us to grow in the wisdom that comes from those who seek your face and get into your word. You tell us that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And so we ask you to build up our faith. You tell us that you've given us all things pertaining to life and to godliness, Lord. We don't need to wander in darkness because of you being the light of the world and your word being a light unto our path, Lord God. We thank you for that, Lord. I pray that as we look at the simple man, we'll each desire to be your man, your woman, and rather than stay in simple ways. It's in Christ's name I pray. Amen. You know, I can't help it. I'm a child of the 80s and heard all the great rock songs and from the 70s and 80s and all that time and things like that. Whenever I think of being a simple man, I think of Lynyrd Skynyrd's song, Simple Kind of Man. And you may know it. In fact, I may have messed you up today. You're going to be singing it the rest of the day and week and stuff like that. But in that song, it's a country boy's mom giving him instruction. And kind of like Solomon does here in the book of Proverbs. And the song has a chorus that rings in our head about how good it is to be a simple kind of man. But if you ever take the time to look at the lyrics, you see that the wisdom is a real mixed bag, you know. It's about what you'd expect a 20-year-old rocker, southern rocker to come up with, you know, and put it, attribute it to his mom. On the one hand, mama reminds her son not to forget that there's someone up above. Don't forget about the good old man upstairs, son. Then mama says, all that you need is in your soul instead of the rich men's gold. Okay, I hear you, mama. But then the kicker, the line that Satan often gets into movies and to books and to TV shows and into popular discourse. Here's the line, boy, don't you worry, you'll find yourself. Follow your heart and nothing else. Follow your heart. Can't go wrong there if you do what you want to do in life and you follow your heart. Oh no, mama, that's awful advice. You know, as a pastor, I've talked to hundreds of people over the years who followed their heart, even when it was at odds with God's truth revealed in the Bible. And they followed their heart and what seems right to them, and it led them down a long, hard path of sin. Proverbs 14:12 says, there's a way that seems right to a man, but in the end it leads to what? It leads to death. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. There's a way that seems right to a man, in the end it leads to death. The reality is that sin will take you further than you want to go. It'll keep you longer than you want to stay, and it'll cost you more than you were ever willing to pay. The Bible tells simple men and women not to follow their heart because, Jeremiah 17 says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Who can understand it? I, the Lord, search the heart, I test the mind, to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his deeds. There's a way that seems right, but in the end it leads to death. So today I'm going to preach to you about how God regards what the Proverbs call the simple man. Now, many of us are used to using the word simple in a good way, and there are good ways to use it. And by that you usually mean that you're focused on important priorities, including serving the Lord. That's great, but maybe after today's message, you'll think, man, I ought to use that word a little less because the Bible just doesn't have a lot of good things to say about staying simple. The word for simple in the Bible in the Hebrew language is pethi, pethi. It occurs 19 times, 15 in the Proverbs, and it carries the idea of being simple, naive, and even seducible. A seducible man, a seducible woman, one who can be seduced by Satan's lies. What we will see today is that when the Bible uses the word simple, it's calling us to go beyond being simple, naive, and seducible, onto a life of wise and prudent living, a life lived by faith in God, by appropriating his words and putting them into practice in our lives. Biblically, a simple man or woman is three things. First, he doesn't know what God wants him to know. Doesn't know what God wants him to know and hasn't acted on it yet. Secondly, he or she won't take the time and commitment necessary to find out what God wants him to know and act on. So doesn't know it, and kind of indifferent to taking the time to find out what God wants him or her to know. Instead, they're drifting through life, taking it as it comes, committed mostly to their own selfish and carnal and fleshly interests, not spiritual things. They wrap it up in noble language sometime, but really they just want to do what they're bound and determined to do. And third, the simple person is easy prey to the temptations of Satan. And Satan has three main pitches, but they're all good ones, and they oftentimes trip up those that don't go beyond simple. He's got the lust of the eyes, the things we see that we want to have, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. And many times you see those reinforced in the simple person who will not go beyond to what God has for them in faith. Now here's the instruction Proverbs gives us about being a simple man. This is kind of neat. The first thing is we all start simple. According to the Proverbs, we all start simple. We saw it in Proverbs 1:4. He said, I'm teaching you these things, son, to give prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the youth. So you start out not knowing, but when you're instructed by godly teachers and the Word of God, then you start learning what you don't need to know. But we all start simple. We start out as babies, then we're children, and we're all simple. On the one hand, we're created in the image and likeness of God. We've got infinite value, so much possibilities for our life, so many things that could happen if we glorify God and enjoy Him forever and put Him first in our heart and lives. It's all there before us. We're created in the image and likeness of God. But the Bible teaches that all the way back to Adam and Eve's sin, the original sin, we also all have a sin nature. We've got a bent toward pleasing ourselves, doing the things that Satan would like rather than that which would please God. It's like gravity for us. You know, gravity pulls us back to the ground. The sin nature pulls us back toward a bent toward sinning. And early on in life, every child that's got a sin nature starts making their own sin choices, and they're accountable to God for being rebels against Him. So we all start simple, but that sin nature early on leads to sin choices, and we find ourselves doing what we want to do, what Satan would have us do, rather than what God would have us do. Now, here's good news when we think of those simple early days of life. The Lord preserves the simple. That's good news, isn't it? The Lord preserves the simple. He says, when I was brought low, God saved me. Psalm 116:6, the Lord preserves the simple. God has His way of taking care of us before we know what we need to know and act on, why we're simple. And for some people, you know, that have mental challenges and other things, they always stay simple and the Lord always takes care of them, and that's one of His great gifts of mercy and grace. But let me tell you a little story about the power that the sin nature has. This goes back to the philosopher Plato, not Play-Doh, that's so much fun to play with and eat when you're a kid because you're simple, but Plato the philosopher. He told a little story, and it was called The Cave. And he said, picture a man that's in a cave, and he's chained up and looking in the cave, on the cave wall, and the opening of the cave is behind him. And as the sun comes up and people goes by, his reality is just seeing the shadows on the wall. He's not able to turn his head and look back and see what the other people look like. This is his entire reality. And then Plato said, suppose somebody came along and unshackled and unchained that person and picked them up and brought them to the mouth of the cave. They're no longer shackled. Here they are now, they're at the mouth of the cave, ready to get out, and they're looking back at the cave wall, and then they're looking out here at the light, and they're looking this way, and they're looking that way. They see some fun happening out there in the real world, but they also see one guy bonk another guy on the head with a club or something like that, and that's kind of scary, and it makes them shudder and things. Plato then asked a question. He said, what would happen if in that moment you left that man at the mouth of the cave and he was there by himself? He asked the question, what would that man do in that moment? What do you think Plato said? Somebody set it up here. Go back in the cave. That's what Plato said. He said he was talking about human nature, and we would define it as the sin nature drawing us back. He said, if you just left that man here, unshackled, but here, he said, what would happen? That man would go back in without the shackles on because of how hard it is to do different, to be different, to live a different script out for your life. And that man would sit back down here and continue to face reality in shadow living rather than the real thing. Profound insight on human nature. That's one of the reasons why once we lead a person to Christ, we don't want to just leave them at the mouth of the cave. We want to help them experience life outside the cave so we can teach them how to live in this beautiful way, this way that God made them to live rather than just go back in and be in the cave. But the Bible makes clear that for every believer, everyone here who's ever turned to Christ and been saved, and if that truly happened, you were born again and you have a salvation you cannot lose, He'll never leave you or forsake you. God, the Holy Spirit, is inside. For every true conversion, there's a reality that's going to be with you for all eternity. Now, there is such a thing as you've accepted God on your terms, and your terms was not repentance and fully giving your heart and life to God. So there's a lot of people that think they're saved and really aren't. And I love having those conversations with people. But what a profound insight from Plato there about the power of the old sin nature. And the Bible makes clear that if you've turned to Christ, now you have a new nature. You have God the Holy Spirit inside, and for the rest of your life, you're going to have this competition between the old fleshly nature drawing you back to sinful ways and God the Holy Spirit saying, there is more for you with God. Don't be simple anymore. Now turn and be prudent, be wise. Discover all that God has for you, and there's going to be a battle between that old and new nature the rest of your life that, thank the Lord, we're freed from when we leave this life and go to be with God in heaven. And so sometimes you're reading in the Bible and you'll see the words, you have been saved. When you turn to Christ, you're saved from the penalty of sin. You won't go to hell when you die. But you also read, you are being saved. Sin now only has the power you give it through poor choices, and you can make new choices now that the Holy Spirit is there to guide you, and the Word is there to instruct you, and the body of Christ is there to come alongside you. You don't want to isolate yourself from the Word. You don't want to isolate yourself from your brothers and sisters in Christ. They'll help you make better choices now and not give sin fresh power when you're no longer shackled. And then, praise God, the Bible sometimes says you will be saved, talking about when we die and go to heaven or when we get raptured to be with the Lord, and sin will never have any presence. We're saved from the very presence of sin forever and ever. So we all start simple, but the simple are called, the next point is, to learn and apply God's word so they can become prudent. So we all start simple. But especially when you are born again and start seeking the Lord, you can now seek God's face and learn the scriptures. You can learn and apply God's word so you can become prudent. We saw it in Proverbs 1:4. We also see it in a couple psalms. Here's Psalm 19:7. It says, the law of the Lord, the Bible, is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure. What does it do? Say it with me. Making wise the simple. We start simple, but we don't stay there. God's word is given to instruct us to make wise the simple. Here's Psalm 119:130. The unfolding of your words, God's word, the Bible, the unfolding of the Bible gives light. Help me out here. It imparts understanding to the simple. So faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. The more we get into God's word, the more God's word gets into us. The more we obey and we have relationship with God and discover that His way is better, the more success we have in following Him. Any of us at any time, because of that old sin nature, can be drawn all the way back to, like King David did, he was a man after God's own heart and then committed some howlers of sins because he had grown complacent. And some of you have grown complacent. You know the Lord, you've grown in the Lord, and yet we're in this wicked world, and if you don't watch it, you could do any sin anybody's ever done to disgrace the work of God in your life and to ruin your testimony. And you don't want to do that. So we all start simple, but we're called to learn and apply God's word so we can become prudent. He's given us his word so the simple can become prudent followers of God's ways, and that leads to blessing in their lives. Now, from earliest days, we see some children and some youth turn early to God and his ways, and they just keep on knowing God's better, and they keep on going with that. Others we see from earliest days with almost a yawning indifference to the things of the Lord. Going to McDonald's doesn't make you a hamburger. Going to children's ministry, youth or youth group or church doesn't make you a growing Christian. You have to intentionally choose to follow God. And we see some people drop out of church even though they retain talk of the man upstairs. Yeah, I did that. I settled that with God. I've got my hell insurance, as John talked about earlier. But you know, there's so much I want to do, and I just don't have the time, and I'm simple, and they just turn away from the things of the Lord. Others come, but don't really listen to the preacher or their Sunday school teacher and hardly ever read the Bible for themselves. What's that the preacher just said? Some people come, but don't listen to the preacher or the Sunday school teacher or ever read the Bible for themselves. They just hear about God. They don't figure things out for themselves by getting into the Word. And usually for that person, it takes some kind of crisis in their lives to get them to think again on the things of God that should be at the very center of their lives. And you've seen it and I've seen it. The DC Talk song sang about it, didn't it? Some people got to learn the hard way. No, you don't. You don't have to learn the hard way. Oh, I need to learn the hard way, Danny. You don't need to learn the hard way. I remember that was one of the great discoveries early on as a believer for me was, you know, the Bible's got good and bad examples to follow in it. Life around me has good and bad examples to follow. I want to be like those that are seeking the Lord and learn what they've learned about seeking him. I don't need to learn the hard way. I can avoid that hard way by taking the Christ way, which many times has hard lessons to learn along it, but oh, how satisfying it is. Many of you have wondered, Danny, did you start the year again by reading Pilgrim's Progress? Yes, I did. I just finished it up the last couple days, and you know, Pilgrim's Progress, the great work by John Bunyan written in the 1600s. The man leaves the city of destruction on his way to the celestial city, and along the way he loses his burden at the cross, at the cross, at the cross where I first saw the light, the burden of my heart rolled away. And all along that path as he's seeking God, he has some setbacks, some are his own making through sluggishness and sin. But he also has some encounters that are spiritual warfare along the way. And he has bouts of fighting with depression and anxiety and other things, and yet he makes it to across the river, and he makes it to the celestial city. You know, you don't have to learn the hard way. You can learn by hearing and doing what the Word of God says. I think about all the times I've heard someone tell me that they're okay with Jesus, things are fine with them, but you look at their life and it doesn't seem like they're fine with Jesus. I'll hear a good old boy, a simple man, and somebody tell me they're one of those, and yet they're still ignorant of things they should have come to understand years ago. Now, you call yourself a simple man. God's word calls you a seducible man, ready to give in to the same kind of temptations that ruin testimonies and hold entire churches back as you choose your ease over knowing and serving God. My goodness, God's plan for each and every church is to be a place where people come together and worship God, get over themselves, hear the word, and do it. It's not a country club where our needs are catered to. Instead, it's more like an aircraft carrier where people come and go from their different missions, serving God and their families and their neighborhoods, their workplaces, among their schools and different things like that. There should be a sense of where we're a little bit nicked up from the battles as we come in and we're binding things up and we're talking about better approaches to things and that sort of thing. But I think how many times churches are like army units with half the unit AWOL, absent without leave. or like that aircraft carrier. Oh, well, we could send the plane back out, but the guy that's supposed to bring the fuel decided to go do something he wanted to do today rather than what God had called him to do. And we can't put the parts together and shake the kingdom of darkness like we can because each and every member isn't doing their part. Ephesians 4 is so powerful that way. Ephesians 4 says, when every part of the body, every member of the body does their part, the body grows. But the implication is sobering. When any part of the body does not do their part, the work of the church is hindered. The work of the body of Christ is hindered. So we have all have our part to play in not only individually growing, but also growing together in Christ as a church and along with other Christians that call upon the name of the Lord in the area and in the country and in the world. We are doing everything we can to push the darkness back. Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell won't be able to prevail against it. And we're so used to making it about us, what we say is that if I am right with Jesus and seeking him, then Satan can't hurt me. He can't get past my gates. But that's not what Jesus said. He said, the gates of hell won't be able to prevail against my church as they go out to the pockets of lostness in Danville and Pennsylvania County and around the world. When we're going out into all those pockets, it's Satan that's going, oh no, here come committed Christians. I'd rather them be simple men that leave all the work to the preacher and others. Oh no. He's the one trembling. When the church finally says, I've got my part, you've got your part, and together we go and do all the things he calls us to do. Look at Proverbs 9, turn there. Proverbs 9. Solomon, early on in the book of Proverbs, pictures wisdom crying out to us, crying out for us to partake of wisdom. Chapter 9, verse 1 says, wisdom has built her house. She has honed her seven pillars. She has slaughtered her beasts. She has mixed her wine. She has also set her table. She has sent out her young women to call from the highest places in the town. In other words, wisdom wants to have a banquet where wisdom is shared. Whoever is simple, verse 4 says, let him turn in here. To him who lacks sense, she says, come, eat of my bread and drink of the wine I've mixed. Leave your simple ways and live and walk in the way of insight. Leave your simple ways and live and walk in the way of insight. There's a voice crying out to you, O simple one, crying out saying, come and learn what you don't know. Come and be wise so the rest of your life you can make wise, godly choices rather than ungodly choices. Proverbs 14, 15, and 16 say, the simple believes everything, but the prudent gives thought to his steps. One who is wise is cautious and turns away from evil, but a fool is reckless and careless. And I think we've all seen it. Those who remain simple that don't go on to prudent living for the Lord, to know and do the will of God, give too much weight to godless opinions. You can hear them. Well, I don't know, Pastor. I don't do a lot of thinking. Some people say this, and others say this. I don't really think about stuff I don't think about, so I guess I'll just go watch TV. I'm just going to go fishing. I'm just going to go do this. I'm going to do that because some people say this and some people, I don't know what to think, and I'm just not going to do the thinking for myself. I'm not going to get into the Word. Thankful for the church of Berea. In the book of Acts, a church is presented and it said that they went back to the Word to see if what Paul was saying is so. The Thessalonians said, Jesus can't be God. He can't be our Messiah. And so they just persecuted Paul and those who shared. The church of Berea said, well, the Old Testament does say the Messiah is coming. And Paul gave us verses to look at. We're going to go back and see if those things are so. And they turned in mass to the Lord because those things were so. They checked it out and they said, what he told us squares with the scriptures. We're going to live for that truth too. And they did. Simple too often has become an excuse not to learn, to keep on doing what we want to do instead of what God wants us to do. And here's the unfortunate reality. A simple person often turns into what we call a cultural Christian, a man pleaser instead of a God pleaser, where what the culture around them does is more important than the challenging commands of Christ. And Satan doesn't care. He's okay with a liberal expression of being a cultural Christian. And he's okay with there being a conservative version of being a cultural Christian. As long as they're cultural Christians and not biblically committed Christians. And you see it. You've got a left and a right that are more about, liberal and conservative things. And you've got others that say the Word of God challenges us in all kinds of ways. And I want to stick with God and what he says. We think about how in the New Testament days there were Sadducees that followed the liberal cultural ways but weren't committed to the Lord and missed the truth of the Word of God. The Pharisees were more conservative and yet missed doing and knowing the will of God. Well, the third thing we say about Proverbs and simple is to stay simple. The Proverbs tells us is willful rebellion against God. Look at Proverbs 1:22. So back in chapter 1 down in verse 22. How long, O simple ones, will you love being simple? How long will scoffers delight in their scoffing and fools hate knowledge? Now, did you catch that? Who does Proverbs lump being perpetually simple in with? Being a scoffer and being a fool. It makes me wonder, what's the difference between a simple man and a fool according to Proverbs? Well, here's what I see as I've studied the Proverbs. The fool outright rejects God and his plan. Psalm 14:1 is repeated in Psalm 53:1. Both says, the fool says in his heart, there is no God. The fool says, there can't be a God. And they just reject outright. The fool rejects the things of God. The simple man simply won't do the work to become prudent. Just indifferent. Thoughtfulness becomes lazy. Now, I think about how we are so blessed in America. Aren't we blessed? And I think about all the tools and resources we have now. I know Brandon and Laura in media ministry, and around the world, such great media ministry. Thank the Lord for Christian radio and TV and podcasts. And thank the Lord for all the ways you can have devotional help. Many of you use the Our Daily Bread, and it's a great thing. I've written 8 or 9 devotionals. I want people to use them. I think about The Chosen, that many times gets people interested, and then they go back and wind up reading more of their Bible. But if we're not careful, we can use those things and replace time in the Word ourselves, time in prayer ourselves, where we are letting God's word form us so that we become wise and prudent in this world. Don't let others do the thinking for you. Take anything that is helpful and look at it through the lens of the word of God to help you grow all the more. The more you get into God's word and the wisdom of it gets into you, the more you will know what to believe and to act on. But it takes work. And for 35 years in the ministry, I've seen people say, no, I just don't want to do that work. If I'm off a little bit and don't believe the right things, that'll be okay, preacher, because I'm just not going to take the time to learn that for myself. I'll ask my wife, I'll ask the Sunday school teacher, I'll ask the preacher, I'll watch The Chosen, and then what happens is you wind up gravitating toward things that reinforce what you want to believe already, and you wind up thinking wrong things, saying wrong things, doing right things. And it was all because you just wouldn't take the time to figure it out for yourself in the Word of God. Turn to Proverbs 1 again. Go down to verse 20. This invitation being given to us, but we don't want to be willfully in rebellion against God. Verse 20, wisdom cries aloud in the street. In the market, she raises her voice. At the head of the noisy street, she cries out. At the entrance of the city gate, she speaks. How long, O simple ones, will you love being simple? How long will scoffers delight in their scoffing and fools hate knowledge? If you turn at my reproof, behold, I will pour out my spirit to you. I will make my words known to you. Because I have called and you refused to listen. Say refused. I've called and you refused to listen. I've stretched out my hand and no one has heeded. Because you've ignored my counsel and would have none of my reproof, wisdom says in verse 26, I will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when terror strikes you. When terror strikes you like a storm, your calamity comes like a whirlwind. When distress and anguish come upon you, then they will call upon me, but I will not answer. Now, God will call when you in repentance cry out to him. But wisdom says, you're reaping what you sowed. I called out to you and said there's a better way. And you stayed simple. You rejected. You didn't even take the time to learn. They will seek me diligently, but will not find me. How many wonderful Christians who are turning back to God after years of doing things their own way have discovered how it's great because now you're at peace with God, but oh, there's so many regrets about things and things that have been reaped because of what you sowed. And you can bring all that back to an earlier age, young people, as children, as youth. But at any age, God says, come, and we'll rebuild from here. But proverbially speaking, wisdom laughs at you that chose simple over learning what you could have known and acted on. Because they hated knowledge, verse 29, and did not choose the fear of the Lord, would have none of my counsel and despised all my reproof. Therefore, they shall eat the fruit of their way and have their fill of their own devices. Verse 32, here's what's at stake. For the simple are killed by their turning away, and the complacency of fools destroys them. But whoever listens to me will dwell secure and will be at ease without dread or disaster. Such powerful teaching there. Well, the next item we learn from the Proverbs is those who stay simple are just not ready to face battle with the devil. They just keep giving in to that old nature. They're easy prey when Satan uses the lust of the eyes, when Satan uses the lust of the flesh, when Satan uses the pride of life. As Proverbs 14:18 says, the simple inherit folly, but the prudent are crowned with knowledge. Proverbs 14:3, it's actually repeated twice in the Proverbs. The prudent sees danger and hides himself, but the simple go on and suffer for it. There is a spiritual battle going on around us. And when you become a Christian, God gives you the armor of the Lord that's spoken of in Ephesians 6. And it's given to you so you can be ready. There is no armor for the backside. It's all assuming that you're going to go engage in the battle and become the kind of warrior that the Lord wants you to be in good things, spiritual things. I'm reminded here that the word discipline comes from words that mean reining in, like you rein in a horse. You're on a horse and the horse can do so much, but you've got to rein it in or it'll take you and just it'll throw you off, you'll fall off, it'll bump you up against a tree trying to knock you off and those things. You have to restrain it, and the simple needs to learn enough of God's word and get God's word into them so they can use it like reins for their life and they can have this strength that the horse would provide under control. The word discipline says, whoa, Nelly, I'm not turning in there like a simple man would. Now think about how fun it is to ride a horse and you're doing all those great things, but you've got to know when to rein it in to bring it to a walk instead of the full out gallop and those things. You know, Job did that with his eyes. Job 31:1, Job said, I've made a covenant with my eyes. I will not gaze upon a young maiden. He's talking about lustfully. Because I'm the Lord's and I've departed from simple, I'm not going to go there. I'm reining it in so that I can glorify God. I'm turning away from that which will mess me up. Turn to Proverbs 7, speaking of the spiritual warfare, speaking of being ready for the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life. The problem is it's not just wisdom crying out to us to make the most of our relationship with God. Satan and his siren songs are also crying out to us to have us turn away, to do that which would feed our flesh, to that which would feed our carnality rather than our spirituality. Proverbs 7, verse 6, it says, at the window of my house I've looked out through my lattice, and I've seen among the simple, I've perceived among the youths a young man lacking sense, passing along the street near her corner, taking the road to her house in the twilight, in the evening, at the time of night and darkness, and behold, the woman meets him, dressed as a prostitute, wily of heart. She's loud and wayward. Her feet do not stay at home. Now in the street, now at the market, at every corner she lies in wait. She seizes him and kisses him, and with bold face she says to him, I had to offer sacrifice. Today I've paid my vows. So now I've come out to meet you, to seek you eagerly, and I've found you. I've spread my couch with coverings, colored linens from Egyptian linen. I've perfumed my bed with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon. Come, let us take our fill of love till morning. Let us delight ourselves with love, for my husband is not at home. He has gone on a long journey. He took a bag of money with him. At full moon, he will come home. With much seductive speech, she persuades him. With her smooth talk, she compels him. All at once, he follows her as an ox goes to the slaughter, or as a stag, a deer is caught fast till an arrow pierces its liver. As a bird rushes into a snare, he does not know that it will cost him his life. And now, O sons, listen to me. Be attentive to the words of my mouth. Let not your heart turn aside to her ways. Do not stray into her paths. For many a victim she is laid low, and all her slain are a mighty throng. Her house is the way to Sheol, going down to the chambers of death. Wisdom's crying out, learn, O simple one. Seductive voices are calling out, come sin with me, O simple one. The simple winds up being at a crossroads, and if they haven't taken the time to learn, if they haven't put it into practice, then there'll be easy pickings when the times of temptations come. The next thing we see is that as we age, being simple is no excuse for disobedience. No excuse for disobedience. When you don't prioritize what you should, you're in sin, the Bible says to us. When you choose to adopt only those elements of faith you want to, we're in a country where people have said, okay, I see biblical faith before me, and I'm going to treat it like a buffet table. I like this part, don't like that part so much. But when you remake what you choose to obey and make your image of God what you want to rather than what's revealed in the scriptures, by definition, you are an idolater. You're not serving biblically the one true God. When I read Pilgrim's Progress, I always get a little shudder at the end, because there's a fellow named Ignorance who does correspond to simple, ignorant. And he thinks he's okay. He's walking the same path, kind of, that the pilgrims are walking, but he didn't go in at the gate that you're supposed to go in and repent and turn to Christ in faith and have his burden taken away. So he's some kind of religious, walking some of the same ways that the pilgrims are walking toward Zion. But he gets to the end and he doesn't have proof that he's born again. He doesn't have a certificate like Pilgrim's Progress has. And he winds up at the very end at the gates of heaven, not being let in, but instead being put in a door in the hillside that goes down to hell. And Bunyan laments and said, so I saw that even from the gates of heaven, there's a door to hell. And the ignorant and simple find it. You don't want to have an idolatrous faith. You want to have the real thing. You want to draw near to God and have him draw near to you. You want to humble yourself in the sight of the Lord and have him lift you up. Look at Proverbs 9, verse 13. The woman folly is loud. She is seductive and knows nothing. She sits at the door of her house. She takes a seat on the highest places of the town, calling to those who pass by, who are going straight on their way. Whoever is simple, let him turn in here. And to him who lacks sense, she says, stolen water is sweet and bread eaten in secret is pleasant, but he does not know that the dead are there and our guests are in the depths of Sheol. No excuse for disobedience, being simple. Not learning what you could learn, acting on what you could act on, being indifferent when you could have done the work. Proverbs 19:25 says, strike a scoffer and the simple will learn prudence. Reprove a man of understanding and he will gain knowledge. Proverbs 19:25. I think about how God uses circumstances to give us attitude adjustments. And when we get it, we finally turn to him and we've got regrets and we can't do anything about those. We can understand that we don't have to feel guilt and shame because Christ has borne all that for us. So if at the age of 55, I'm 56, but at the age of 55, you're only now learning what you could have learned when you were 5 or 15, thanks to godly instructors and teachers. It's okay, you're on the right path now. And you may have to deal with the consequences of sinful choices in the past, but we're talking about things that at any time, the turn can come, the change can come. And so I want to ask you, what part of commitment to God have you ignored? What part have you scoffed at? What part of you said, well, that's for preachers or for my godly wife, but not for me, my godly husband, but not for me? Folks, God won't bless what he can't bless in your life. He will judge what he must judge. And if you're a believer, then take the word judge out because your judgment was taken care of at the cross and put in the word discipline. Things he wants to prune out of your life so you can be faithful and more fruitful for him. The simple person basically walks by sight instead of faith. If they can't make a connection with what they see, they just don't do it. They hedge their bets and their investments, probably similar to James talking about the double-minded man. Do you remember what James said about the double-minded man? The double-minded man is unstable in all his ways, all her ways, double-minded. Because just a little bit, a pinch of religion here, my flesh, I got to do this. I got to act on this old instinct and that sort of thing. Some of you have become so good at compartmentalizing. Church is for the things of the Lord, but it doesn't affect how I work and cuss at work at Monday, and I get to Friday night and woo! No way I'm going to be lonely. No way I'm going to be lonely. I'm going to find somebody, and if it's a sinful relationship, that'll be okay. And then you come back and say, oh, got a Saturday sometime, you start feeling a little tinge of guilt for that, and you go, oh, well, Sunday morning's coming. So I got to ask God to forgive me because Sunday mornings, it's the religion compartment, and it's just all compartmentalized that, and you're a double-minded man, unstable in all your ways, and you're teaching everybody around you to be double-minded in their ways as well. I came up with an acronym for simple. I think it's pretty good. Satan intentionally manipulates people loving ease. Because there is a deeper walk with the Lord you can have. You say, well, Danny, that's not what I mean when I say I'm a simple man. Well, start using another word then. Because the Bible says simple people are those who don't know, won't learn, and don't do what God tells them to do. You don't want that to be simple if you love the Lord, right? You're saying you're focused. Well, say you're focused. You love the Lord. Say you're a believer in Christ. Say you're a disciple of Jesus, a follower of Jesus. Call yourself a set apart person, a called out person, anything but simple, because simple by biblical definition doesn't know, won't learn, and won't do. Or is the problem that you're ashamed of Jesus Christ? You don't want to alienate those simple man friends of yours who don't know, who won't learn, and don't obey Jesus Christ. You're fine to let the preacher be the one that has to always be on, and some godly folks in the church, you know, they've got to be on, but you love the fact that you can say, well, I'm not like that, and he might be going too far on that stand, you know, and I'll just be a simple fellow along with you. I think I've said this before, but you know, in premarital counseling, sometimes you know, you get to instruct people in how they're going to start out and stuff like that. And one time I was doing that at the house, and Elizabeth was in the next room, and I said, "Hey, honey, come in here and tell this fine young couple. Tell this fine young couple about you know, any advice you want to give them." And she was irritated with me for something or another. It happens. And she said, yeah, tell them this. What's cute when you first get married ain't cute 10 years in. A child being simple because they're just figuring out, just learning. We can say that's cute, but we still need to spank them and teach them, right? But it ain't cute if you've been a Christian 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70 years. And you're still a double-minded man, unstable in all your ways. If you still just as easily make carnal decisions as spiritual ones. If you don't know, and you won't learn, and you won't act on, it's not cute anymore. Routinely, when a Christian would do this that would glorify God, you do this that's more of an expression of cultural Christianity. You're angry at the same thing lost people are angry at. And you've got no regulating faith because you've taken the time to go beyond simple to prudent for the Lord. God expects us to leave simple behind and become wise believers, faithful and fruitful followers of Jesus Christ. If you want to, turn to Hebrews 6. I'm going to end just by looking at the first two verses, where the author of the book of Hebrews is telling Christians that were about to undergo a tremendous time of suffering and sifting and persecution. He is so zealous for them to be ready for that because they've got a real and lively faith. If you don't have a real and lively faith, you're not ready for what's coming in America. You're just not. You're just not. We've already seen a falling away happening in churches across the country. And God is sifting us. And if your faith is real and genuine, He's drawing you to that stronger commitment, that laying down of your life, as Don said it so well last week, Lord, I give all of Danny Campbell to you. Put your name in there. Lord, I give all of myself to you. But in Hebrews 6, as he's challenging them, he says these words, therefore, let us leave the elementary doctrine of Christ and go on to maturity, not laying again a foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God and of instruction about washings or baptisms, the laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. You know what he's telling them? He said, you know what? You've been doing this long enough now, you should be leaders among the work of Christ. Instead, we're back there in elementary school with you. You know, you're simple because you will not learn what you need to learn, give to God what you need to give to God, and go on from there. And he says, let's leave the elementary things and let's go on to a mature faith. Repentance, you've already repented, and so stop just circling around there with the very basic, okay, I'm turning to you again because this is where we're at. I sin, I come back. He says it's time for you to understand when you first gave your heart and life to Christ, when you repented, it was a once and for all thing. And from that time on, you're yielding to what God has in your life. The word repentance, faith toward God. Now my faith is in Him. I believe He loves me and He's got what's best for me ahead. I'm not going to question His goodness. I know He's good. And His following Him will be better for me than anything I could think of for myself. Instruction about washings. Okay, I believed and I get baptized. I don't need to keep circling around that in my head. The laying on of hands. Learning about prayer and its power when I'm alone and with others. And of course, the great truths that the dead will be resurrected and be with Christ forever. One day, have a new body to live on a new earth in. Let's end and land where we began with Proverbs 1. Proverbs 1, verse 4. God wants to give prudence to the simple and knowledge and discretion to the youth. Leave your simple ways behind, Proverbs 9 says, and be wise. Bow your heads, please.
Thank you for joining us for today's edition of Tabernacle Today. To learn more about the Tabernacle, please visit our website at www.thetabernaclefamily.org. There you may access additional Tabernacle Today podcasts, as well as other resources. If you don't have a church home or happen to be visiting the area, we'd love to welcome you to one of our weekly services. Thanks for listening, and we look forward to seeing you back for another edition of Tabernacle Today.